Radio stations crackled with emergency warnings, documenting the storm's ferocity. People who could took cover inside, but people on the highway, like Denise Holton, had no place to go. Now that she was firmly in its midst, there was little she could do. Rain fell so hard in places that traffic slowed to 5 miles an hour, and Denise held the wheel with white knuckles, her face a mask of concentration. At times, it was impossible to see the road through the windshield, but stopping meant certain disaster, because of the people on the highway behind her. They wouldn't be able to see her car with time enough to stop. Pulling the shoulder strap of the seatbelt over her head, she leaned over the steering wheel, looking for the dotted lines in the road, catching a glimpse here and there. There were long stretches during which she felt as if she were driving on instinct alone, because nothing was visible at all. Like an ocean wave, rain poured across her windshield, obscuring nearly everything. Her headlights seemed absolutely useless, and she wanted to stop. But where? Where would it be safe? On the side of the highway? People were swerving all over the road as blind as she was. She made an instant decision. Somehow, moving seemed safer. Her eyes darted from the road to the taillights in front of her, to the rearview mirror. She hoped and prayed that everyone else on the road was doing the same thing, looking for anything that would keep them safe. Anything at all. Then, just as suddenly as it had started, the storm weakened, and it was possible to see again. She suspected she'd reached the front edge of the system. Everyone on the road apparently guessed the same thing. Despite the slick conditions, cars began to speed up, racing to stay ahead of the front. Denise sped up as well, staying with them. 10 minutes later, the rain still evident but slowing even more. She glanced at the gas gauge and felt a knot form in her stomach. She knew she had to stop soon. She didn't have enough gas to make it home. Minutes went by. The flow of traffic kept her vigilant. Thanks to a new moon, there was little light in the sky. She glanced at the dashboard again. The needle on the gas gauge was deep into the red shaded area. Despite her fears about staying ahead of the storm, she slowed the car, hoping to conserve what was left. Hoping it would be enough, hoping to stay ahead of the storm. People began to race by, the spray against her windshield wreaking havoc with her wipers. She pressed onward. Another 10 minutes passed before she heaved a sigh of relief. Gas, less than a mile away according to the sign. She put on her blinker, merged, rode in the right-hand lane, exited. She stopped at the first open pump. She'd made it but knew the storm was still on its way. It would reach this area within the next 15 minutes, if not sooner. She had time, but not a lot. As quickly as she could, Denise filled the tank and then helped Kyle out of his car seat. Kyle held her hand as they went inside to pay. She'd insisted on it because of the number of cars at the station. Kyle was shorter than the door handle, and as she walked in, she noticed how crowded it was. It seemed that everyone driving on the highway had had the same idea. Get gas while you can. Denise grabbed a can of Diet Coke, her third of the day, then searched the refrigerators along the back wall. Near the corner, she found strawberry-flavored milk for Kyle. It was getting late, and Kyle loved milk before bedtime. Hopefully, if she could stay ahead of the storm, he'd sleep most of the way back. By the time she went to pay, she was fifth in line. The people in front of her looked impatient and tired, as if they couldn't understand how it could be so crowded at this hour. Somehow it seemed as if they'd forgotten about the storm, but from the looks in their eyes, she knew they hadn't. Everyone in the store was on edge. "Hurry up," their expression said. "We need to get out of here." Denise sighed. She could feel the tension in her neck, and she rolled her shoulders. It didn't help much. She closed her eyes, rubbed them, opened them again. In the aisles behind her, she heard a mother arguing with her young son. Denise glanced over her shoulders. The boy appeared to be about the same age as Kyle, 4 and a half or so. His mother seemed as stressed as Denise felt. She was holding on tightly to her son's arm. The child stomped his foot. "But I want the cupcakes," he whined. His mother stood her ground. "I said no, you've had enough junk today." "But you're getting something." After a moment, Denise turned away. The line hadn't moved at all. What was taking so long?